Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, football fans. For those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Reminder, on Friday, we're going to be up at Barry Road area, right? Barry
yeah.
Road?
Yeah. Barry Road Rally House?
Yeah, Barry Road Rally House. I was thinking of the shopping center. Barrywoods Crossing is the word I was looking for at the time. That's what I was hesitating for. We'll be at the Rally House location up there on Friday. Hope to see you guys there. We know it's playoff time in Kansas City, so you want to make sure you make your way out to Rally House. Gear up to go back to back to back in the kingdom. Rally House is now rushing in some new gear, too, for the playoffs, including those official Chiefs postseason shirts and sweatshirts. Latest styles to cheer on your team. Shop 16 KC Metro locations and online at rallyhouse.com. We'll have some gift cards, I know that, to give away as well. So hope to see you guys there in a couple days.
Plus, you know, we don't always get out and about town, so it's good to get to see people. So we'd love to see you out at Rally House tomorrow. Plus, yeah, different
Friday.
We haven't been, you know, in the Northland, it feels like, for a remote in a little while. So maybe a different crowd. Who knows, right? Get a different part of town. I feel like we've been in Kansas the last couple of times for Rally House. We've been out in Independence for Rally House, so I think their first time up there on Barry Road. So looking forward to seeing you all tomorrow. You and I might have a different opinion. And I know that this is going to sound like, oh, here comes Cody again. I just want to make it very clear now so that I'm on the record so that people don't think I turned into a hater. I forgot. Travis Kelce's getting ready to go full playoff mode, Travis Kelce. And I just want everyone to be mentally prepared for when it looks like all of a sudden he turned back the clock and you're like, damn, where was this Travis all year? I'm like, it's the playoffs
now.
That's
what he did last year.
Here it comes. I know that you were like, wait, could it be? Of course it's going to be. His over-unders are like his regular season numbers. Right now, if you were to bet Travis Kelce, like I go to underdog and I say I want to bet higher, it's like 54.5. Like, that's not what's going to happen with Travis Kelce. In the postseason, he shows up. He's good for 80 yards and a touchdown, pretty much from here on out. If you want to know what the numbers are, that's what he's here for.
So I also think he's going to have a big postseason. We've seen enough of a track record, and we yesterday heard Patrick Mahomes talking about rest and, you know, who benefited the most a year ago from not playing in that final game. I mean, it was easily Travis Kelce despite the 1,000-yard season on the line and everything like that. And here is Travis Kelce. We played the audio from his interview with Pat McAfee. You know, he was joking. He feels like he's 22 and everything like that.
Making a Taylor Swift reference.
Of course.
He figured out all that encoded stuff like she is. That's very smart. Good marketing.
Yeah.
Also, they got LeBron on their podcast. Jesus.
Yeah.
That podcast is out of control. They didn't get anybody.
Yeah, I mean, they signed a $100 million deal with Amazon's podcast division or whatever it was. Anyway, I think absolutely I would expect Travis Kelce to step his game up. He's done that throughout his career in the postseason. He individually knows there's a switch to flip. It's not just the team. He knows there's a switch to flip, and he's backed it up. Those big time moments, he's ready for those. So I think for sure I would not be stunned. And after last year, I don't know how any Chiefs fan could be stunned if that happened. I think there's another name though that we haven't seen do it yet.
Hasn't had a ton
of postseason experience. I'm talking about DeAndre Hopkins. I think there's a real chance here in the postseason. D-Hop reminds us where he has been throughout much of his career. He hasn't had a lot of playoff games. That also is kind of why I like this, because I think if you're talking about motivation and everything like that, well, D-Hop's definitely in that category. After he's had multiple games where they've limited his snaps and he's had, you know, three catches for 40 yards, three big catches though, but like 40 yards in this game, I would not be surprised if during this playoff run, we see a couple games where he's six catches, 85 plus for a touchdown. You're saying kind of 80 for Kelce. It would not surprise me if it's something like that for DeAndre Hopkins. He still provides, and while maybe the separation is not there as much as it was years ago, he still is a contested catch guy. Other than Travis Kelce, is probably the best contested catch guy on the team, easily.
I am genuinely kind of excited to see the way that the targets go in the postseason. For the last month, Xavier Worthy has been the main target guy. He's been the highest target guy over the last month. Travis Kelce, historically in the playoffs, has been the highest target guy. And as much as, like, I know that we watched, like, kind of the older DeAndre Hopkins take a little time to get up to speed in Kansas City, a couple of quiet games, right? He still finished with 437 yards in limited action for Kansas City this year. He was playing like 50% of the snap. He was a 1,000-yard wide receiver last year. He still finished with 700 yards this year. So for DeAndre Hopkins to be this guy, this is the only thing I'll say, Gold, is for DeAndre Hopkins to be that guy and to have the same thing we're talking about with Travis Kelce, and we both agree he'll be better in the postseason than he was in the regular season. To different degrees, it's fine. But Hopkins does have to get the targets. And at no point this year has he just been like the target monster. Now, in the Texans game, here's where you probably have an advantage. In the Texans game, I don't think they're going to put Derek Stingley all over DeAndre Hopkins the entire game. That'd be a weird way, actually, to attack Kansas City. I think it's more likely he'd be on Travis Kelce on some of those snaps than DeAndre Hopkins. And right now, if you were the Texans, you got an elite-level tight end or elite-level corner, the same as the Chiefs do. Who do you choose? Like, if you just said you only got to let Derek Stingley guard one player the entire game. I know it doesn't work that way, but for one game, he's only going to guard one guy. Who do you take away if you're the Chiefs? I still think the answer is Travis Kelce, which does leave DeAndre Hopkins open. If it's just a wide receiver, I think it'd be Hollywood or Xavier before I said, well, I'm going to take away DeAndre Hopkins, because at least he's not going down the field to burn me. So DeAndre Hopkins, I think, is not likely to get the toughest coverage.
He's a possession receiver at this point in time in his career more than anything else. But that could also lead you to having still a pretty big day.
Yeah, 6 for 80 is not out of the question. I think that's nuts.
913-586-7965 from the 913. Someone says, this is going to be so funny. You guys really think everything that happened last year is going to happen this year? Chiefs fans are crazy cocky. Let's go Texans. Yes, it is very crazy to think
that the 913 year.
It's very crazy to think that the back-to-back champs will once again play well in the postseason. I know it's wild to think that the back-to-back champs with the same coach, the same quarterback, the same tight end, the same defensive lineman, the same shutdown corner, that they would possibly play well again in the playoffs. I know it's nuts. It's nuts to think that could
actually
happen.
One more this year. This is a better team than last year, isn't it? Like, not just because the wins, like, just straight up.
They're also just healthier heading into the postseason. I mean, I know we talked about the week 18 last year, Kelce getting healthy, but in general, they're as healthy as an NFL team can be heading into a divisional round game.
They're just more talented, like, particularly on offense.
I kind of want to do this topic now, maybe tomorrow or something, but, like, if you made these two teams play each other in the divisional round, who would you think would win? This year's Chiefs teams or last year? Because that maybe answers part of your question, and what they're talking about is where are you at this point? Like Travis Kelce, and I don't know how to, like, I know that you're like, this is not going to happen every year. It'd be like betting against something that has hit 10 consecutive times in a row. But I'm thinking it's weird. Travis Kelce, for his entire postseason career, Travis Kelce actually has a chance. He probably won't, because I don't think 3 games is quite enough to get it. Travis Kelce this postseason could become the all-time receiving yardage leader in NFL playoff history and the all-time touchdown leader in NFL playoff history. Both those things are on the table for him. So if we're talking all-time playoff performers, and people talk about these guys like showed up in the playoffs, different monster when they got there. Travis Kelce is one of the single greatest playoff players of all time in NFL history. Not just like Chiefs history. In the whole league, very few people perform better than that. And yeah, DeAndre Hopkins is a future Hall of Famer who's never gotten to play any postseason games. So, like, I would think he'd be motivated to win a Super Bowl, perform well, do all those things. I don't think this is crazy.
Well, that's the whole reason why he came to Kansas City in the first place, right? I think because I'm sure he would have had other suitors, but he wanted to come to a place that he said he's wanted to play at before and feels like he has the best chance to win.
I would love the backstory for the texter that, for whatever reason, is trying to act like the Chiefs have not shown anything to suggest that they can win playoff games. It was bizarre to me.
How are you a Texans fan in the 913?
Did he write do you think he wrote the Texans fight song? Do you think this was him actually that wrote it? I don't know if you helped write this either, Cody, but I think this guy did.
I don't know, remember this.
Is this Texans a real song? Love the game of football. Down here, the game is big and it's raw. Grab a chair and sit a while and enjoy the game. Texas style. We are the Texans, the Houston Texans.
What is this from?
I don't know. It's in the system. It's been in the system for a while.
And we'll fight like Texans.
And it goes on from there. I think that gentleman that texted in might actually be the guy that's saying it. Texans fans are listening to Chiefs
2007
and in Kansas City talk. They're scouting. They're doing a little scouting, I guess.
Written by legendary NFL films composer Sam Spence.
Mm-hmm.
We are the Texans.
Was it really by Sam Spence? That's crazy.
If they beat him by 30, I'll rewrite that song for the Chiefs. They got to beat him by 30, though. I'm not.
The Chiefs have to beat the Texans by 30.
I think you're good there.
I'm not wasting my time to rewrite that Texan song unless they just destroy
In fairness, Colin Cowherd said that they're going to blow out the Texans this weekend. Cowherd thinks it's not going to be close.
I don't know if they're going to blow them out. I think it's going to be a comfortable win for Kansas City. And by that in the NFL, that's a 10-point win. The Chiefs are 8.5-point favorites in this game. It's also the playoffs, so more than ever, it doesn't matter what the margin is, truly. Like, just win, baby.
I'll tell you what,
in the regular season, people can be like, you can't keep winning this way. In the playoffs, it doesn't freaking matter at all. Just find ways to win. I don't care if they have to win off of 3 straight doink field goals. Who cares? Who cares?
Yeah, do you really think that, do you think the Bucks feel better because they lost on a doink field goal? Like, oh, man, if only that thing. No, I think the team who won feels good about it. I think the Commanders feel good about it, which is different than that. I will say, somebody on the text line earlier, a smarter person than that one.
Dang.
What? They said it, not me.
I didn't call the guy an idiot, even if it was an idiotic take.
Okay, that's fair, I guess. That take was stupid.
Hey, people say really dumb stuff. Doesn't mean they're a dumb person necessarily.
This is the guy showing up to the restaurant during restaurant week. Fair, Cody fair has point. To serve. So that's what this is.
Fair
that's
point. Is. Fair point. I actually don't know their intelligence level, but that take was stupid.
But it's a dumb take, yes.
Earlier on the text line, there was a good take, one that I happen to agree with. Somebody had said, hey, you guys aren't giving the Texans defense enough credit for what they're doing. I think the easiest reason, if you're going to say, hey, how do the Texans pull this thing off, is starting with, they have played significantly better defense over the last month than they were playing at any point during the regular season, where their defense was just as suspect as Baltimore's or others for as good a talent as they have. But can I point out one little quick thing before everyone's like runs to the bank and be like, hey, man, they're playing way, 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 way better defense. The teams that they beat playing way better defense are the Titans, the Dolphins before Tua came back, the Jags, and the Titans again, and the Cowboys with Cooper Rush. So I don't care. They are playing better defense, but based on opponent, they're still limited. They have 2 good pass rushers and 1 good corner, and that stands out. I'm not sure they have other defensive players to fear. Right? Like, that's what it is with the Texans. They are playing better defense, but do you fear anyone else besides the 3 players we've mentioned a bunch of times?
Yeah, but how many? I mean, in fairness, I would say most defenses, if I can list off 3 studs, that's a pretty darn good defense. My basis is just that, hey, they played each other not that long ago, and I saw the Chiefs effectively move the ball on the Houston Texans. But no, if I can list off Will Anderson, Neil Hunter, and Stingley Jr., those are 3 really, really good defensive players. If I go through most defenses remaining in the postseason, can you name just quickly 3 Bills defensive players?
Armstead, Milano, and then Von Miller's still in the squad.
So guys that have been there for a long time. Not necessarily their best defensive.
Russo.
Yeah.
My
point is, and are those 3 better than what we just named? No. All I'm saying is, I don't think it's, if you're saying those are the only 3 we can name, well, yeah, that's a pretty damn good 3. I'm just basing it off of the Chiefs were able to effectively eliminate at times Will Anderson, and that's in, as Ross Tucker told us, that's where the game's going to come down to. Can Joe Tooney and then Juwan Taylor on the other side, can they hold up again? It's not a have we ever seen it happen? Yeah, I saw it happen just a month ago.
If you look back at that game against that same defense, one that is playing a lot better in the second half of the season with the same players, right? Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, Derek Stingley Jr., and others. Mahomes went 28-41, 216, a touchdown. Kareem Hunt only ran the ball 11 times, 55 yards. Pacheco ran it 9 for 26. And then I will say they did a nice job against the Chiefs wide receivers because Xavier Worthy had a great game, 7 for 65. The second leading receiver that day was Samaje Perine. So they did a nice job holding pretty much everyone else down, including Travis Kelce. But also that's partly because he completed a ball to 11 different 1, 2, 3, 4, 8, 9. He completed a pass to 11 different wide receivers in the game. or nine different, and he attempted a pass for two others. I guess it says 0 for 0 for them, so he must have dropped it. But, I mean, they move the ball pretty effectively against them. So, it's kind of hard to, I think their defense is playing better, and we should take that a little bit seriously, but I'm not going to pretend like they're the 85 Bears either.
Well, and one of the things that we've talked about, last year in particular, I think, as well with the turnover stuff, is in that game, Cody, Houston had two turnovers, the Chiefs had none. Being able to protect the football obviously gives you the best chance to win, and in that case, Ross had mentioned maybe Houston gets a strip sack or something like that. That might be the only way that they do get something is the defense being able to make a play. Because if the Chiefs turn Houston over, I don't know if Houston almost has to go perfect without turning the ball over and maybe force a turnover to be able to give themselves a legit shot to win just because of what we saw in that one game. It was an 8-point game, but it felt like, if I remember right, the Chiefs were... they were in control of the game. It never felt like it was on the brink of being a loss.
I think what you're saying and kind of what Ross was saying as well is just the Texans, their path to a victory involves, special teams touchdown or a defensive either touchdown or, hey, set up a really short field for CJ Stroud. The Chiefs can win without having a turnover forced, right? I think that's the difference. When you're a team that's overmatched, and I think the Texans are overmatched heading into this game, doesn't mean they can't win, but they will need something special like that to happen. And of course, that happens all the time in the league. But that's what I think it would take for the Chiefs to be in real danger in this football game. Or if they decide DJ Humphrey should start and he does struggle against Will Anderson and then they try to go back to Joe Tooney and for whatever reason Tooney's just not as effective, then they're in big, big trouble at that point in time.
Yeah, if they just get straight out terrible left tackle play, we're probably having a different conversation. But again, 1, 2, 3. The Texans were 7th best in turnover differential in the NFL. They were... +3 better than Kansas City, who, by the way, ended up finishing in the top third-ish in the league, considering where they were started, because they just stopped turning the ball over. But as Ross Tucker also pointed out, and the league knows, turnovers are not a predictive stat. They just aren't. You could have been a great turnover team the entire year. That does not mean that is going to continue in the postseason. That's one of the Bills' biggest problems, because the top 5 teams in the NFL in turnovers, you ready this year in differential? The Bills, who are still alive and did not turn it over, they actually did a good job of getting the ball. The Steelers, the Packers, the Chargers, and the Vikings. Loss, 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 loss. What did they do, too? All lost the turnover differential. So as good as they were this year at holding on to the football, protecting the football, they all lost. The only two teams in the top 10 who won were Houston, Philadelphia, or three teams, Houston, Philadelphia, and Buffalo, who we previously mentioned.
Last year's postseason, the Chiefs, remember, they had turnover problems. Suddenly, they didn't turn the ball over in the postseason.
Yeah. Mahomes has never even thrown a pick in the divisional round. I'm sorry if that's a jinx, but everybody knows it, and that stat's been out there, so it's not really on me. And also, jinxes aren't real.
Yeah, don't have that kind of power. Don't have that kind of power. All right, let's get to the trash.
That sound you made was priceless.
Right when Drew went, I was like, oh, I know he doesn't have it.
Damn.
He doesn't have it ready.
He hit it with a damn.
Mm-hmm. You should have just said it right out loud. We could have dumped it. We could have dumped it. You should have just cursed, you know? All right, let's get to the trash.
Just screamed.
So we talked about positive news involving the Missouri basketball program earlier, right? Big win against Florida. Unfortunately, one of their former basketball players, we were just discussing how some texts and things could just mean you have a bad opinion, a dumb opinion. Doesn't mean you're a dumb person. Then there are text messages that could implicate you in a federal crime that mean you
Seems
are an absolute
bad.
Idiot. And I'm referencing Jontay Porter. You guys know last January the story came to light that he was allegedly,
he was fixing games.
Fixing games would have individuals that he would text to intentionally bet unders on, points, assists, pulled himself out of games intentionally. That was what was alleged. Well, the text messages in the court case are starting to come out. Here's one sequence from January 23rd of last year. It's a screenshot of a chat between Porter and the co-conspirators' contacts, and then also the NBA player, which of course is Porter. The NBA player sends a text. I went back to the locker room to get my eye checked on. I don't know if I'm going to be able to play much more. Another text. I'm not starting the second half, but if it's garbage time, I will shoot a million shots. I mean, you could not make the case easier for the feds than what he'd point blank in a text message during a game. You were providing this individual with information to tell him, hey, quickly bet the under. I'm not going to even be back out there in the second half. I mean, this is being a complete idiot. Yes, it is.
I think it's kind of crazy that you would send that. Like, it's not just doing a goal. It is literally word for word. Hey, guys, I'm going to do the exact thing. I'm going to play 2 minutes. Following those 2 minutes, I will complain that my eye hurts. When that time is up, I will come back in later, jack up a bunch of shots, and lose. It's a crazy thing to admit in a text.
It's all right there. It's all right
there. Don't admit to crimes that obviously in text. Have a conversation. Maybe make a phone call. I would suggest in person, you know, if maybe you're going to commit these, but like definitely don't just spell it out via text. Somebody like criminal defense attorneys, anytime you're like, you're watching like reels or TikTok or any of that stuff, they'll just be like,
is that where you get your legal advice? TikTok.
I'll just say right now. They're always warning, like, look, if you think that whatever you send in a text message, let's just say you,
yeah, it's there forever.
Yeah. If you sue somebody, they're gonna be like, all right, we'd like access to Alex Gold's phone real quick. And you're like, man, you were saying a lot of bad things about people. You're like, oh, damn. I didn't think you were going to read every text I said out loud. Yeah, it's a dangerous place.
They can subpoena like your cell phone provider or whatever, right? And they can get your cell phone records and everything like that. Yeah, just idiotic behavior here for Jonte Poehr. Not to mention, as we said, when the story first came out.
And
when the story first came out, yes, he is. I think so. When it came out last January, it was also the fact that you're Jonte Poehr, dude. That kind of betting activity is such a red flag.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You're not betting on LeBron. People are betting unders on a guy that's a two-way player in the league or whatever he was at the time. You know, like, it's just so, you made it way too obvious. This is also why there's, I don't know if it actually happened this year, but there's a push. The NBA was requesting some of the operators like FanDuel, Underdog, etc., to no longer offer unders specifically, because unders you can fix way easier than an over.
Players,
and yeah. Under on two-way players. And it makes sense because, like, at least on an over, hey, that guy's got to make the shots. Like, somebody else can, that guy has to make the shots. Unders, I can just purposely miss. I can purposely pull myself out of a game. I can purposely not pass the ball and get an assist. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Overs, like, over 3.5 threes, I still got to make 4 threes.
Yeah, I still got to take them. I mean, every time they get the ball, I still got to jack. And if I just keep taking bad shots, Coach might not leave me in very long.
Text line's picking up on something you said there. They said, shockingly, Cody knows how to get around committing a crime. More bank robbery and other advice coming your way.
It's harder to get away with crimes because the phone tells on you.
Well, there's cameras everywhere.
Says your location, tells the, you know, gives all your text messages, looks up your internet search history.
That's right.
You know, like, they can pretty much find it. If you've looked it up on your phone, you're running your own trouble, you know?
Yeah.
Can they subpoena, like, if you went to the library to research that, can they subpoena your, like, library search history? It's under your ID number.
No idea. Yes, I would guess. They can probably put two and two together. They can probably put surveillance photos and video of you walking in said library at a certain time, and then under your username, there was this search from that computer. Like, I'm sure, yeah. To answer your question, I'm sure they can.
They have to find out I went to the library, but yeah, same difference.
Oh, but, dude, you can get, I mean, they can get, I mean, very few, I mean, you just can't, I feel like you just can't get away with anything.
Yeah. It's better to just not commit crime.
How about that?
That's this show's
crimes.
Official endorsement.
Mm-hmm.
Don't commit crimes.
Shout out to law enforcement. That is the trash of the day. The story with Jonte Poehr. Up next, though, let's get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour and someone that's getting a second interview. We know there are a couple coaches getting interviews, but a member of the Chiefs front office has a real chance, it sounds like, to get a job. We'll get back to that, as well as how this game could go on Saturday based on how the entire season is.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how.
Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Gone for the Chiefs.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
And our divisional round coverage is brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer partner of your Kansas City Chiefs. Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. You guys can continue to hit us up on the J Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. So, I think I would view this differently if I haven't seen years and years and years of the front office after losing pieces continue to draft at a high level and have success. But Mike Borgonzi, the Chiefs assistant general manager, is getting a second interview today with the Tennessee Titans. Remember, they fired their GM earlier this week or late last week. I can't remember what it was. This GM, whoever it could be, will not be able to hire a new head coach right away. They will be inheriting Brian Callahan, right? I hope it's Bill, his dad. Brian Callahan. So that's what's unique about this spot. And most national reporters agree that Mike Borgonzi, it's only a matter of time before he becomes a general manager. He had an interview with the Jets as well, but this is the first second interview that we know of with the Tennessee Titans. As far as a Chiefs fan, you never want to lose good people in your organization that have helped build this championship team. But when you have Brett Veach as your GM, and you've already lost Ryan Poles, who was another highly respected individual, obviously Brant Tillis, who's in Carolina now. I guess I'm at the point now where it's like good for Mike Borgonzi's, you know, own well-being and stuff. I hope he gets the GM job. I don't think anybody should be worried about losing him. That's not a shot at him. My point is, like, they have just had this happen multiple times.
They keep
building within, and you have the guy in charge still there. You know, Brett Veach is still ultimately calling the shots. Not that he doesn't have people around him to help him out. But I guess I would have been more worried about this kind of stuff the first time they lost Ryan Poles or whatever. Like, I this doesn't really do much for me anymore.
No, I think a lot of what it comes down to at this point is they're plucked so infrequently, like kind of a weirdly low number considering the amount of overall team success that they have had. And as a result of that, I think you actually build up people better behind you. So, like, what happens is if your guy gets plucked pretty quick, it's kind of hard to build up behind you, right? Like, if you have your offensive coordinator taken after a couple of years, Gold, maybe the wide receivers coach, maybe the running backs coach, hasn't been in as many of those meetings, seen how they work, understand how those things go, and therefore haven't gotten used to that. The thing that intrigues me about Mike Borgonzi, though, is I still think there are some teams who are looking at Mike Borgonzi as a package deal with one of the coordinators for the Chiefs.
And if you lose
Borgonzi, and he's getting a second interview there, but if you lose Borgonzi and Spags, or, you know, to New York, or Borgonzi and Nagy, then it feels like it's maybe a little bit more of a loss from the people in house. But also, they've lost like five offensive coordinators, and that's never mattered.
The only one that honestly would worry me. Would be if Spags actually left.
I was actually a little surprised to see Chiefs fans already like pre-coping for like a possible loss there by saying like, "No, I think Cullen can handle it." I'm like, Spags is the single greatest defensive coordinator in NFL history. I don't think we want to just wash away his accomplishments here and pretend like he would be an easy person to replace. But Borgonzi's like second in charge, third in charge. Before him, Ryan Poles was second in charge, third in charge. Before that, Brant Tillis was on a similar to the same level as Mike Borgonzi. And they've been able to handle those losses and never skip a beat. Arguably, Brett Veach has actually had some slightly better talent evaluations over the last two or three years versus maybe even then when some of those guys were there. Now, last year's draft, we'll see still. It's not as good as, you know, the Creed Humphrey draft or all the guys essentially are deserving of second contracts. But last year's draft, like, it's definitely still got some potential. Like, Hicks, Worthy's obviously shown a lot of signs. We'll have to wait on some of the other players, but, like, there are signs that this still works. It stinks to lose people, But if Bergonzi gets the Titans job, he gets the Titans job. I'd be stealing from the Chiefs, too. They at least know how to run a successful organization.
People poach from the Patriots all the time. I mean, the Chiefs, of course, Scott Pioli was obviously a Patriots guy. Didn't work out, but that was the thought, right? If we're going to go get people from winning organizations that are like around Brett Veach, people that are around Andy Reid, it makes a lot of sense. This happens in all, I would say, most fields to begin with. If you're talking about companies, you know, you're gonna hire, you know, someone that was not the CEO of a company, but maybe he's now going to become your CEO because he was already high up in another company or whatever. This is not a new concept of how this stuff goes down.
Is the NFL kind of the tougher, like, is GM harder than coach to predict? Because yes. Like it's GM just feels like a collaborative position. Like when you're Brett Veach, we talk about it as if like Brett Veach sits in a closet by himself and he's like, Xavier Worthy nailed it. That's not how that process works.
Scouts and he's got
at all
other kind of evaluations going on.
40 people sit in a meeting and look at the same thing and openly discuss it and narrow and field and discuss. Really, as a GM, your job is just being a good manager of both. The difficult part about GM is you have to be a good manager of people on both sides. If you're a coach, you only have to be a good manager of players. If you're Mike Borgonzi, you only have to be a good manager of the people who work below you in the front office. Your job is not also to make sure that Andy is happy or Spags is happy or these guys. Brant Till is some of that. He's got to make sure the money makes sense for players, right? He was a cap guy on that end, and that's part of it. But like, I don't feel like the people management, it becomes much bigger. It's a much bigger jump than maybe other parts of the organization.
I mean, I think John Dorsey is a really good example of this whole thing, though. We all knew he was a great talent evaluator. But
yeah,
when it came to the money, it was a struggle for him. Balancing the cap, whether it was not having the right people around to do it or he was trying to do whatever the reason was. Great talent evaluator. Like, we all know the pieces he helped bring to this organization that are still part of this run right
Chris
now.
Jones, some
of the
biggest Patrick Mahomes.
Hall of Famers, right? Hall of Famers is what we're talking about. So, but he struggled.
Did he draft Travis Kelce?
I believe so. Yeah, would that have been the end of Pioli?
Might have been Pioli. I don't want to.
Well, Andy was here, so look at it that way. So, Andy didn't work with Scott Pioli.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And Kelce was an Andy pick, so there's our answer. It was
Dorsey.
No, great talent about it.
Hits.
But struggled to manage some of the other things, and then maybe, who knows, relationship stuff always becomes a problem at some point, and that's why this whole thing has worked really well and why the Chiefs are where they're at. That truly, from top to bottom, they got a great working relationship going with everybody, whether it's ownership with Mark Donovan down to Brett Veach, and of course the coaching staff all the way around. I mean, that's why this thing works.
Yes, it's why they're the most functional organization in all the NFL. Like, for instance, it wasn't until today that all the rumors started up. I assume you saw the same thing, that Arthur Smith and Russell Wilson hated each other, it turns out, right? And you're like,
a lot of people don't like
Russell Wilson and Arthur Smith.
There's a theme.
You
here.
Both might be the problem in this case.
There seems to be a theme. You know, Sean Payton got a lot of crap because of, you know, he clearly didn't like Russell Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's redeemed himself a little bit this year with how he's handled the rookie quarterback and Bo Nix.
Three straight coaches who seem to have a run-in with Russell Wilson. And also, we've talked about this before. Same rule applies to you in your regular workplace. If you have worked at three different places and every place you're like, these guys are all a-holes. Every single place I work, full of a-holes. It's you. No one wants to tell you yet. You're the a-hole. You're not every place you work. They don't all suck. You suck. It's just the reality of it.
I saw Arthur Smith just got an interview.
What's happening with
Arthur Smith just got an interview with the Bears. Just wrapped up an interview with Chicago too. As I said, there's no problem with interviewing a ton of people. I think it's a very good thing to do, generally speaking. But Arthur Smith, New York, who interviewed him, and now Chicago. If Chicago, I don't think they will. If the Bears hired Arthur Smith while having Caleb Williams, what a joke that would be. They're better off just hiring Mike McCarthy, obviously, or Pete Carroll or something before you go to Arthur Smith.
There are so many better options.
Yes. I mean, there's numerous names.
Marcus Freeman is a better hire, and he didn't coach in the NFL.
I mean, I would hire Kellen Moore, who was the Eagles OC, before I would hire Arthur Smith again. I mean, Arthur Smith had a good 10-week run with Russell Wilson. And that was impressive.
Are we sure Arthur Smith even wanted to make the switch? Because wasn't it Tomlin who made the ultimate decision? I mean, they were, 4-2 with Justin Fields?
No, I think Tomlin.
It was still the right decision. They had enough success at one point in the season with Russ that it was the right decision.
It's
hard
to pull the plug in the final month of the season when you're going 0-4.
Right. They became predictable, and, you know, the clock struck midnight on the Steelers, and George Pickens, I think, every single week has shown, as his career has progressed, while the talent's there, you're like, well, how could the Chiefs have not wanted him? I think we know exactly why he's not a Kansas City Chief after how he has handled his business. I think it's very evident. Like all the questions that I think it should be a reminder for all of us come draft time. Like when a player maybe doesn't get selected, you know, and that doesn't mean they don't take chances on players. They obviously have. But if it's not always like George Pickens, I think everybody would acknowledge unbelievable talent, but it's more than just that when selecting. It's not even that you have to have whether it's off the field. It's, hey, what's he like in the locker room? Is he a pain in the ass or not? And is he going to fit in with this team? And they clearly felt like no. And it's been true. Like, imagine if Mike Tomlin wasn't in Pittsburgh, this George Pickens thing would have been even worse.
I mean,
the latest report is he showed up the Chiefs Steelers Christmas Day game late. That's the report. At least.
Yeah. Versus the other two games coming up. As we continue to look at like the Chiefs and their upcoming game on Saturday, the other two games that they might possibly play, the other two teams, sorry, they might play in the AFC, the Ravens and the Bills. Those games are far enough back in the Chiefs' schedule that I don't feel like I've got a good sense of what they were. As a matter of fact, I think correctly pointed out on YouTube, I don't think Mahomes has thrown an interception since that Bills game. Mm. And they didn't have Hollywood Brown and Aminihu hadn't fully come back and Pacheco and a million different things. The Ravens game. The Texans game. If that's how that game went the first time, what is me to not think that it's going to go exactly that way again? I know games aren't carbon copies of each other, but CJ Stroud looked like he looked most of this season kind of average. The Chiefs still only won by 8. The offensive line held up pretty good against Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, but it wasn't a runaway, but they had firm control of the game. It is kind of how I expect the gameplay in this game to go again. And to say what Drew, this is where I'll give Drew not as hard of a time. I think people were burying him because he was talking about the close games the Chiefs play because it made it sound like the dumb takes that people have, which is like they've just been lucky this whole time. I don't think you can luck your way to 15 wins. I don't think that's possible. But I do think if you play 17 games and you play a whole bunch of them close, yeah, I think the playoff game will be close. Like even against the Texans, I don't think it's going to be some runaway game where in the middle of the third quarter, Gold, you and I are texting each other, be like, "Well, do we want a Baltimore? Do we think it's going to be a Baltimore guest or a Bills guest next week?"
Yeah, the stuff yesterday was in the context of is it an upset or not, and how big of an upset. I would say for just is it a close game? Yeah, most NFL games are close, and it's later in the postseason, so the teams and the quality of teams you're playing are better. I will still say, as I've said a few times already this week, I think the Texans are the worst team remaining in the field, though. So,
do you think this is the most likely blowout?
Yes,
of all the NFL games,
Commanders can't stop the Lions. So that's we can talk tomorrow.
They're the
more
biggest
about,
favorite. So.
Yeah. The Commanders is a great story. I think Jaden Daniels, the only hesitation with could they keep it close is he looks like he's just a big game player. But I don't know how on earth the Commanders defense is not good. So I don't know how
they haven't been good all year.
I don't know how they stop the Lions. So that one has blowout potential. Otherwise, yeah, Chiefs Texans. I mean, we did see them play a few weeks back. And the Chiefs won by 8 and were in control. And now there's no Tank Dell in the game on top of it. And the Chiefs are healthier than they've been at any point this year. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's a chance of it. But typically, if you're just, putting, the odds out there of blowout versus not, yeah, the favorite would be that it's a narrower margin. That's usually how the NFL goes. But this might be the last week where we see a blowout happen. The rest of the games, AFC title, NFC title game, Super Bowl, could all be within 6
that's
points.
That's the first game of the weekend, right, obviously?
Chiefs, yeah.
I mean, if it's a blowout, just be ready for not me, but there's going to be the text messages, the tweets, or tweets rather, are going to just come flooding in again if it's another blowout.
Oh yeah, probably.
What but does it work the other way? If the national title game on next Monday night is a blowout, will you guys all have the same reaction?
It's like college football's tanks.
Yeah, is that the same? That's my point. It's like my idea is the whole thing is
one
ridiculous.
Game is
one game and 2 games, 3 games, or whatever is crazy. If the national title game is not competitive, I can promise you I'm not going to text you and say, "See, college football sucks." That will not be my
take. Complaint about college football. Be the same as it always is. This game starts at 6:30 and it'll end at midnight, and that should be a crime. College football officials should be put into
college football,
they
man.
Should be put into jail for the idea that a game could start at 6:30, end in regulation, and end at midnight.
It's never been.
It'll be over hopefully by 10:15.
You are exaggerating a little bit. It's not midnight.
But, I'm watching the clock.
But
it'll be 10:15 though. It might be 10:15
before that. 10:15.
It's all because of halftime though in college football now. Because halftime's a good 30 to 45 minutes. Hey, it's better
crazy.
It's better than college basketball having the final at 9 o'clock at night.
True.
Essentially,
and last night's Missouri Florida
game
where
late too,
they reviewed every play. every sequence, every possession.
That game started at 8 o'clock.
That was crazy. But yeah, look, I do think this, you know, someone texted in, and this was a text we got a lot. Someone said the Chiefs haven't shown they can blow out anyone this year. I would say the last couple weeks they've shown that.
That's about as closest.
You know, that's as
close
as been.
For them to beat Pittsburgh, what was it, 29-10? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's
29-10, 27-19. We don't have to go through the whole definition of a blowout thing and everything again. You know, was it a, you know, remember the Chiefs beat the Browns 21-7. I said it was a blowout and people said it wasn't. So I don't know what we, you know, everybody can't agree on what a blowout is or isn't.
Oh, we did have an argument over what was a blowout. So that's true.
We don't need to go back down that again. But yeah, I think the Chiefs can win comfortably. How about that? Maybe that's the word we're using. They'll win comfortably on Saturday against the Houston Texans.
Can we, as a show, make a bet on the over-under of the runtime of the national championship game?
We can. We'll say that for Monday.
It's going over 10:15.
The game's not until Monday night. We can do a Monday night or something if you want. Okay. And we can do something like that. The other fun thing that come playoff time that everybody focuses in on more is the referee assignments. You know, we had the fun a couple years ago with Carl Cheffers after his whole Raiders game mess, and the fans made him cry, and then he ended up being the official in the Super Bowl. And so ever since then, everybody keys in on officiating. I saw something circulating nationally, and I hope we kind of just like nip this in the bud quickly. And that is, well, Clay Martin's the official Saturday, guys. And guess what? Mahomes has never lost a game in which he's officiating. Reminder, Patrick Mahomes has 26 losses total.
His whole career?
Yeah, he's like 100 and something and 26 in his entire career. He hasn't even lost 30 in his entire career. So we got to stop with that. Also, because of that, thanks to a listener yesterday who responded to my tweet and did some of the research for us, Mahomes also has never lost a game officiated by Brad Rogers and Adrian Hill and Alex Kemp and Jerome Boger and Trey Blake and Scott Novak and Alan Eck, as in there are that many officials that he's 32-0 with. So the point is, hey, if you're damn good and you win a lot of games, yeah, there's going to be some officials where you've never lost a football
game. But they could have chosen an official that he had lost a game.
I was going to say, I'm waiting until the Texans fan texts back in. Well, the fact that he's undefeated against that many, I'll tell you what, I don't know.
Yeah, it's just crazy. Like, just if people just do a little, like, step back for a second, we're like, oh, you know, he wins a lot of football games. So yeah, it makes sense that there'd be some officials that he hasn't lost games with. Like, it's some of it's just common sense. Step back for a second. He wins a lot of, my guess is quarterbacks like Aiden O'Connell and, you know, prior to the Vikings season, Sam Darnold, they probably had a lot of losses with this official because, you know what? They lost a lot of football games, you know? It's kind of, I bet you Josh Allen has a pretty decent record with officials too, because he wins a lot of football. Tom Brady probably had a really good record with officials because he won a lot of football games.
I would borderline be surprised to find out if Patrick Mahomes had a losing record with any official, right? Like, there's not some official that he's 1-2 with, right? I'm assuming that every single head official in the NFL, Patrick Mahomes has a winning record with. That's how we're digging that deep for conspiracies. Josh Allen was hugging the referee in the last week. And we're you're going so far on Chiefs conspiracies to dig up his record against a referee.
It's crazy.
Is it like 50-0 or is it like 2-0 too? Did you see what the number is? Because I'm going to be
with this official.
Yes.
Clay Martin. Let me.
It's going to be like 2 or 3-0. And I'm just going to be so offended that it's not like 47-0. Like, he's just like, every time Clay Martin's the official, so he's just like an unstoppable monster.
It's got to be more than just a couple games with Clay.
Yeah. I don't have the record of that official.
You're saying, Cody, if Mahomes was 1-2 against somebody, you would be concerned that it actually is the opposite in this. In which
I'd be more concerned. I still would probably say
it can be explained away so easy. He wins a lot of football games. Duh. Yeah.
He's 6-0 with Clay Martin. He's also 6-0 in the divisional round. The ref didn't rig it for him every single time he's played in this round
Clay
of the
Martin's
NFL
not
playoffs.
Doing every divisional round Mahomes game. That would be interesting actually to see if that was the case. But it's,
I mean, it really
not.
Is. I looked up Mahomes' record with Clay Martin, and there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different immediately. 5 different articles from people being like, Mahomes has an unexpected playoff advantage.
Yeah. Overall, there are eight.
Oh my God.
There are 8 officials in the league currently, and guys get promoted all the time. But right now, there are 8 officials in which he has never lost a game in which they officiated.
So, like a quarter?
But he's 30. But he's
the entire NFL.
But that's 32 games worth.
Oh, man.
You know?
It's funny.
Or more than that, 38 games, I guess.
I will say that for the fans who feel the need to really. Or the people who write those articles, I feel sorry for you. Are you're taking the time to really dive deep into this?
People,
because it does, it really does not matter.
People are miserable, and anytime you win, people want to look for any reason why. Like, there's no way they can just be this dominant or this good. There must be some conspiracy. What's so crazy about it is this franchise during their run has not had any cheating scandal other than random guy on Twitter. Like the Patriots during their run, former coaches on Belichick's staff would get fired or leave, and then write tell-all books, or Eric Mangini would be out there talking about cheating. The Chiefs have lost multiple front office members. The Chiefs have lost multiple coordinators. And not once has there ever been a story about somebody telling all, like, oh yeah, we were doing this and cheating. Not one. It would have come out by now. So it's so bizarre that this is the franchise people are pinpointing that there's any cheating or any, like, when the Patriots actually were the ones cheating. So it's just, it's bizarre to me.
I don't, again, Josh Allen had like a gentle embrace with the ref pretty much last week. And now this?
Well, like we talked about earlier, there's one quarterback who flops all the time. That's Josh Allen.
He is, yeah.
He is.
I wonder if the NBA player. I wonder if the NFL or soccer, some of these other leagues, will ever adopt the NBA flop model. Because the NBA, they had to do it because the fans really started to complain. They're like, we don't like this. We don't like that players are constantly like, you know, because LeBron do it, other people do it. Like, we don't like when these guys throw their arms back and do this. So will you get rid of it in the game? And so they're like, yeah, if you guys don't like it, we'll get rid of it. Like, does anybody like when a quarterback flops? And there aren't that many quarterbacks who do it, so they're not going to police it. And I get why, if there isn't a rule against it, I kind of want my quarterback doing it. I don't even blame Josh Allen for doing it. Take every advantage you can get on an NFL football field.
Up next, we'll get to what's trending here on Cody and Gold. We'll also talk more about the latest on how things could look if the Chiefs three-peat, as in how the celebration could look. You might be saying, hey, what are you doing? Remember, things take time to prepare. We'll explain that next.